Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again for our radio audience. It's the bottom of the hour for you guys. For those joining us online, though, we have another great segment joining us today. Joe Randazzo is making his first appearance on our show. He's someone who's gotten to be known, of course, not only as a former editor for Onion, but also as part of the creative team for AdultSwim.com. He's here to talk about not only his own comedic journey, but also how he's been able to share some great advice in his new book, Funny on Purpose. And this really is a great book, I think, for all creatives out there, the definitive guide to an unpredictable career in comedy. We're going to talk to Joe about the book, what led him to write it, and what it's been like for him to be able to share what he's been able to learn over the years. Joe, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. I was sharing with you before we went live here, Joe, that, you know, I think this book is perfect for all of us in the creative community, especially, you know, who are trying to look for ways to not only be able to be better at what we do, but also ways of being able to enhance it and to share it. We do a monthly segment on this program called The Business of Books, where we kind of tackle books in this way. But what has it been like for you to use your background in comedy to be able to share what you've learned and some of the lessons that have worked for you?
Well, I think that was definitely something that I took into account when I was writing the book, was that I wanted to be able to talk about how a creative person in general can turn what their passion is and sort of what it is that they find really interesting and inspiring in any creative mode into something that they could, for lack of a funnier or more eloquent term, make money off of. So it's not just about, you know, and I try to cover all of it, like how to market what you do, how to market yourself, how to kind of home in on what it is that you're good at, but also how to kind of sustain it over time, how to look at, how to be able to be, to use your creative juices in the best possible way, but also be a little bit cold and calculating, since it is kind of a competitive, content-riddled marketplace, like everywhere in our world, in our lives, for anybody who has a smartphone or a cable box or a laptop, there's content, which although not all of it has very much content to it, but there is stuff to look at or listen to everywhere. So it provides an incredible spectrum of opportunity, but also it's very easy to get drowned out in the noise. So just trying to, you know, give people some insight into what I've picked up over my time as an independent comedian, but also working for a few great comedy organizations, interviewing dozens of people who I have respected since the time I'm a kid until today, to just sort of say, like, it's tough out there. You can do it. And here's some of the ways that people have used to do it, while also recognizing that everybody's path is going to be a little bit different.
Right. Right. Could you have imagined, Joe, and I was thinking about this when I was prepping for this segment with you, could you have imagined that the journey that you took and what you had been able to learn and to use and benefit from, could you have imagined the day that you would be sharing the way that you are today, that you are able to let people know, hey, this is what I've done, this is how I've done it, and you know, you can do it too?
No. I mean, this is what happened to me. Now I just started recently, took over as the head writer on a Comedy Central show at midnight. And before when I was at The Onion, about once or twice a week, I would wake up, think about work, and then say to myself, I'm the editor of The Onion? Like, it was a complete shock to me every once in a while. But I think there is this thing where, without getting too Oprah Winfrey about it, you do have to sort of speak your dreams aloud to yourself every once in a while. You have to sort of give yourself the space to play with possibility, let that kind of roil around in your subconscious, and incrementally build some confidence for yourself that it's not just a pipe dream that somebody else gets to do. This can happen, and hopefully, you know, some of the things that I've outlined in the book give you a little bit of information or insight or guidance about
how you can make it happen. So just as much as I think you need to be really practical and sort of look at your creative enterprise, if it's something you want to turn into a career, because some people are very happy to do comedy or poetry or writing or whittling or whatever it is as a hobby. But if you really do want to turn it into a career, it has to kind of be a big part of your whole life, and you have to kind of look at it like a business. But at the same time, you really need to leave a lot of room for yourself to kind of daydream and fantasize and play. Like when I was a child, I always wanted to be a comedian. But by the time I got into college, I think I mentioned this in the intro to my book, before I went into college, I was like, you know, when I was still in high school, I was like, well, there's never any way I'm going to make it as a professional comedian. There's only a handful of people who do that in the world. So maybe I don't know. I just got my braces off and that cost a lot of money. Maybe I should just be an orthodontist, you know, like, and I shudder to think what would have happened if I'd majored in microbiology and then went to dental school. You know, I mean, dentists are great. And so are orthodontists, but I'm really glad I didn't go down that path. And you know, I went to college for broadcast journalism because I thought, well, maybe that's a good way to kind of find, you know, learn a skill that can get me into the media. And once I'm in there, I can sort of try to use my sense of humor to build a career for myself. But the ironic thing was I worked at NPR in Boston for several years while I was in college. I went to Emerson College. Built great relationships there, moved to New York to kind of make my big splash, and then zip. Like, I could not get a job. I couldn't get an internship in radio at all. And I thought, well, there goes that idea. Wound up working in reality TV for a while. Thought that was going to be my career. And then I thought, well, I'm spending 80 hours a week, you know, working on something that I don't care about. And then I wound up just, I was just working at a sort of, at a fruit basket company, actually, and started doing improv classes. And through that class, because my soul needed to do something that invigorated and entertained me. And so I was like, screw it, I'm just going to take these classes. And then through that class, I met people who worked at The Onion. One of them wound up leaving The Onion. She recommended me for the job. I tested for it, and they hired me over the phone. And then, you know, that was the only opportunity that I needed. And I think part of it is being able to recognize those opportunities, because I was ready to say no. I was very nervous about taking on that responsibility. And I was grappling with it, like, oh, I don't, maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe I can't do it, you know. So just, you know, incrementally building confidence for yourself, but also being able to recognize, like, what it is that you're good at, how to kind of angle that for yourself.
And I think that's the interesting thing. And I'm sure when you mentioned Oprah, my Mississippi audience, their ears perked up, of course. It's Joe, because, you know,
yeah,
that being her, you know, her home state. You know, I think what's so interesting about what you shared about that, not to get to Oprah Winfrey, is that a lot of the book is like that. I felt like when you would say, you know, writing for TV or writing for the web or writing books, you know, it really is about action. You have to do it. Do you think that's why you've been able to be successful, is because even though their fear may have been there, you still went for it. You still did these things, and that's why it was able to pay off.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think to a degree it takes a kind of fearlessness and to maybe a larger degree, stupidity. like two of my favorite comedic minds of the last decade or two, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, you know, they both kind of made their name at Saturday Night Live, but their training was really very much rooted in improvisational theater. And the guru of modern improv is a guy named Del Close, came out of Chicago, and his sort of distillation of what makes good improv, this wonderful theatrical world where sort of comic miracles can happen in the moment, is his three-word phrase that distills it all, is follow the fear. If you run from the fear in the scene, in the moment, you're going to tank that scene. You might go for a safe joke, or you might go for a, you know, an easy laugh, but you're going to miss this opportunity to explore something that is much more raw and real. And I think, you know, Amy and Tina talk about this all the time in both of their books and interviews, but it's so, so true. If you can bring a little bit of that philosophy into your daily life, you know, if you get that twist in your stomach when an opportunity comes up, rather than just back away to avoid that feeling, lean into it and say, well, what is here? Like, you know, what am I nervous about? I might be nervous that this is it. This is the opportunity. You know, like, I'm going to put myself on the line. But if you're going to be a comedian or a writer or a radio host or anybody who's in the public eye or to any degree putting something you create out into the public, there's always going to be a risk. So if you can't even face that, then maybe you should go to, you know, orthodontistry school. But it's definitely a test that comes up. And creators are lucky enough that we're doubting ourselves constantly. So but it takes practice too. Like you have to do it a few times and then be able to remind yourself like, oh yeah, I'm scared here. That probably means I should act. One of the other guys I interviewed, Jonathan Colton, he's a musician and kind of a comedy musician, almost in the Weird Al mode. He doesn't do parody songs, but he kind of does funny songs. His advice was like, think about the biggest mistake that you can make and try to do that.
Wow. And, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned the interviews, Joe, because that is one of the things that really struck me that you were able to include in this, and I want to talk about those. I want to reset, though, for a moment. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking today with Joe Randazzo. We're talking to him not only about his new book, Funny on Purpose, but what it's been like for him to use his own platform, his own lessons, to be able to help other people now in this book, The Definitive Guide to an Unpredictable Career in Comedy. One of the interviews that you did that really struck me, Joe, was the one with Michael Kupperman, and I thought what was so interesting about that one, and it begins with a quote, a career is the belief that you have a career. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's on pages 241 and 242, but one of the things that he said is something that kind of is what you alluded to, actually. He said this: I was very poorly prepared for life. I had no idea how to ask questions such as, what is my motivation in life? I didn't even know. I'd been drawing since I was a small child, so it was a language that I was familiar with. It was not hard to learn how to draw. The hard part is putting yourself inside the drawing to where it's an actual expression of yourself rather than a mechanical action. And I thought about you when I was prepping for this, because that's why I think you've been successful. You've been able to get inside of it. You know, when you're able to write a book like this and have interviews like with individuals like Michael, did that help you to better appreciate how far you have come and what you have accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, it very much did. And each interview very quickly turned into a conversation where we all, you know, with everyone that I did it, from Judd Apatow to Joan Rivers, Michael Kupperman, Weird Al, and then people that maybe people only in the comedian or comedy world would recognize, we got to go through the kind of journey together of like, oh yeah, here's where we're at now, like, this is great, and here's how I got here, and sort of remember like the trials and tribulations, and then sort of go through with everybody that I talked to. Got to go back through all of that terrible insecurity and those fears and moments when you don't know if you should just pack up and quit. You know, I asked people, like, what's the worst advice you've ever gotten? And almost every single person said, have a backup plan. Because it sounds like such practical advice when you're getting your diploma and getting ready to go off to college, like have a backup plan in case it doesn't work out. But if you are the kind of person who needs to express yourself through your creativity, needs to do something with that voice inside of you, sometimes knowing that you have a backup plan is dangerous because you say to yourself much more easily, oh, I can always fall back on my backup plan. And one or two failures down the road, you're already on your backup plan. You know, so I was really struck. And every conversation I had across the board was just incredibly inspirational. And like, because I was nervous about doing the interviews at first. I was just nervous about them because some of these people are, you know, my heroes. But everybody's so willing to talk as much, I would say actually more about their success as about their failures. And then just, you know, and sometimes, you know, I mean, you can say to yourself, like, don't listen to your critics. Pick yourself up and keep going. Follow your dreams. Those are platitudes. What you actually need to do is, like, somehow convince yourself that it's still worth it. And I think a big part of that is trying to be part of any community who's also doing what you are doing, because you draw so much support from that. So if you're a stand-up comic and you just bombed, go see some more stand-up comedy. You know, talk to your friends about the time they bombed. It's a lot more difficult for a writer because you're just sitting in a room alone. You're already beating yourself up inside your head constantly, and like writers don't usually get together and hang out late at night at bars. I guess maybe they used to. I don't know if they do anymore. Like comedians do. So it's a little harder if you're doing a sort of solitary craft like that. But having a community and it's too easy to say believe in yourself. I think you need to find a way to kind of fool yourself for a while until you actually start gaining some success and gaining some confidence. And even with the most successful people that I talked to, Joan Rivers, you know, who passed away not too long ago, but she said, you know, she told me she gets stage fright every single time she goes on stage. She's been performing for over 50 years, and she still does it, whether it's at a little place in Florida or Carnegie Hall. She's like, everybody knows, don't talk to me before the show. I'm freaking out in the dressing room. But she recognizes after somebody, you know, she recognized somebody who is almost more successful than any other comedian of the century, how important it is to have that fear, because it means you still care. And, you know, her big warning was, if you ever stop getting nervous, if you ever stop getting stage fright, then, like, you need to go back to the drawing board because you're too confident. You're too comfortable with your abilities and what you can do, and that you start to rely on the same things, and next thing you know, you're slipping and scrambling, and you're not quite as sharp as you once were.
Right. Well, what a great thing to be able to share, Joe. And I love the fact, as I was saying to you, even before we went live here, and we're going to be letting our listeners know how they can get the book for themselves, is that it really is something we can all benefit from. Because even in the interviews, we're able to see that, yes, you're talking to comedians, but what they're able to share, I mean, are great things for all of us when it comes to going for what it is that we love. And you take this to another step. I mean, you not only share, you know, the various platforms that you can use, but don't you think it also takes away the excuse, Joe, of, you know, well, I can't do this. Well, I can't find a publisher. Well, then in that case, you've given them, you know, how they can self-publish. And maybe, you know, maybe they can't write for The Onion, but they can blog and they can do a podcast. Do you think a book like this does, for people who are serious, take away the excuses and give them the opportunities?
I hope so. I mean, I tried to write it that way where I didn't get too mired down in sort of inside baseball comedy talk. I think one of the more technical areas of the book is the sort of the digital realm section where I'm talking about podcasting and I'm talking about social media. I think to some degree what you alluded to, self-publishing through Amazon and stuff like that, where I really had to do a lot of research and figure out, well, what are the mechanics of this? Like, what works and what doesn't? I wanted to be able to hold people's hand right up until the point at which they need to do their own stuff. And then it's
right
on you. So I try to give people as many of those tools as possible. Or if you're interested in podcasts, you can open that section, read about some successful podcasters who are talking on a sort of macro level, but also at a glance, see how a freaking podcast works, because I had no idea until I researched it. But also, you know, I to try to handle everything from that to, you know, I wanted to have this idea to close the book with a sort of essay about death, which is just something as a father and a mortal in his mid to late 30s, I think about, and I think everybody thinks about. But rather than hide from it, use it as a framework for a creative person to sort of put a little pressure on you of, like, you're only here for X number of years. Why keep giving yourself excuses not to do the thing that you most want to do? You know, not to mention the fact that comedians have a long, storied history of trying to deal with death. I think that's one of the things that they, are best at, is talking about something that other people are uncomfortable with. So how do you frame that? How do you sort of look at that as, like, well, I'm here, what gives me meaning? What gives anybody meaning? And hopefully by the time people have read the book and gotten to the end of it, it works as something sort of inspirational as opposed to a big bummer, which is definitely the risk I took. But so I did try to kind of cover up all of it from, like, going in and setting up a new podcast for yourself technically to looking at your whole life of, like, wow, yeah, someday I'm going to be lying on my deathbed. Would I rather say, well, I did my best and I created these kinds of great creative enterprises, or, yeah, I gave up on the second open mic because I just was too nervous, you know?
Yeah, and I think that is it. But, you know, I think that goes to a bigger point, Joe, and that is that, you know, you only have this time. So why not make it count? And I think that is the thing for all of us, and which is why I keep, I guess, going to the larger message that I took away from it and reading it, that, you know, I'm definitely not funny, but I try to use the platform that I have to be able, and when I was reading the book, I thought, wow, this applies, I can do this better, or I can, you know, because we all use these various platforms like YouTube, and the way that you're able to go into detail about that, podcasting, of course, is a part of our radio broadcasting. So, you know, I think we can all benefit from that. Has that been one of the fun things to be able to see how people are already starting to apply it and to be able to appreciate it?
Well, you know, the book just came out 2 days ago. So thus far, the only, you know, I've heard a few people tell me that they bought it while they were drunk and they're looking forward to reading it. And other people who bought it for friends. So I think people are digging into it because it really just came out 2 days ago. But the few people, the sort of friends, some of whom I interviewed, some of whom I didn't, who I sent it to ahead of time, have been really, really positive about it. And, you know, I was nervous. I was nervous about the book. You know, just in general, as a kind of quasi-cynical person with a huge hidden heart beneath it, I was leery about writing a kind of how-to book. You know, I think most of them are kind of like, a lot of them don't have a lot of substance, you know, or they're really too heavy on just like literal how-to stuff without much kind of personal flair to it. So I wanted to try to write a book that would be entertaining to read, that had a lot of my voice and perspective, but also, when necessary, kicked it over to the experts that I interview, of sort of like, but you don't have to take my word for it, or here's my opinion. You know, Judd Apatow is about to say something a little bit different, but maybe you should listen to Judd Apatow on this one. When I started writing it, I had a much different voice. It was much more kind of sarcastic and snarky, sort of starting from this point of view of like, well, you'll never make it as a comedian, but in case you want to try, because I thought I wanted to write a kind of anti-how-to book. But I quickly realized that, as I was really digging into it and trying to put myself in the shoes of a 19 or 20-year-old or a 40-year-old who was picking up the book, I quickly realized, like, I don't want to read some jerk, sarcastic comments about how I'm not going to make it, you know? Like, and I came to really kind of fall in love with that future reader. And I very, very quickly felt a really intense responsibility to that reader, to kind of give them everything that I had, everything that I was able to gain from talking to others, do it in an honest way, and try to make it entertaining. Because in the end, you know, if my book helps people to realize their creativity in whatever way they're able to, that's like, I don't know, that's an incredible, incredible gift that they will have given back to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, what a great gift that you've given us in the book, Joe. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. I'll be writing my review for Amazon.com for it, because I really think it is so thoughtful. And I love that we didn't get into it, but I love even what you wrote about social media, where, you know, I think there, and I will read that one line, because I think it is something that is great. In the chapter, the social networks, you say about the world, and, you know, in so many times we get hung up on how many followers we have or how many people are friends with us or that kind of thing, and you encourage us to get off social media for a while. Do something else. Write, you know, a letter. Do something. But then you wrote this on page 289. Twitter, speaking just of Twitter, Twitter is an extension of yourself and your personality, but it is not real. It's too fast and intense, and emotions are too pared down and immediate to be real. Remind yourself of that every once in a while with a sunset that you do not post any photos of. And I think, you know, that is a great thing, reminding us that there is a world outside of 140 you know, characters, or, you know, outside of Instagram, or, you know, or Facebook, that there are real people out there that you can engage with, and those are people that appreciate you too. So I love that reminder. Again, everyone, Joe Randazzo has been our guest today. Great conversation with you today, Joe. The book is entitled Funny on Purpose, The Definitive Guide to an Unpredictable Career in Comedy. Joe, you mentioned it in the book, but how can our listeners stay connected with you, as well as how can they get the book for themselves?
Well, you can find the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of those real-world retailers, if you still have one in your town. There's still a few of them. The website is funnyonpurpose.com, and right now it's an absolute travesty. So if there are any web designers out there willing to work for $5 or so, get in touch with me. And you can find me on Twitter at RandazzoJ.
All right. So he's made it very easy for you guys to stay connected with him there. Again, Joe, thank you for the time today. I really appreciate it. I know this is a busy week for you, so we appreciate the time and looking forward to staying connected with you online.
Thanks a lot. This was a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Hey, glad to do it, man. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great show here on Conversations Live for our radio audience. Thank you all for joining us for another great hour. If you missed part of my conversation with recording artist Susan Krebs or with Joe Randazzo, don't worry. You can check with your local station to find out when this hour will be re-airing for you. For those joining us online, though, thankfully, there is a podcast of this conversation, something else that Joe talks about in his book, Funny on Purpose. You can find the link on our social media pages at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. On Twitter, I did tag Joe there. As he mentioned, he is Randazzo J, and we tagged him there to make it easy for you guys to be able to find him. I found out that I tagged the wrong Joe on Facebook, so we'll get that fixed. But we thank the Joe Randazzo that I did tag for letting me know that I had tagged the wrong one. So we'll make sure that we get that remedied on Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing our program today. You all make it a great one.